Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back, Raider Nation. This is Raider Nation Radio 920. That's right. You can take part in the show. Give us a call, 702-365-9200. Also, you can text us on the Sam and Ash, our good friends Sam and Ash, both amazing people, 69186. Call them anytime, by the way, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Visit them at samandash.com. They will help you out. Okay, folks, listen, the autumn wind is approaching. Yes, football's on the horizon. Not just any football, Las Vegas Raiders football. And you found your home, Raider Nation, for nonstop coverage and conversation of your beloved Raiders, Raider Nation Radio. And this is Silver and Black Today with your scallywags, I mean hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers. Q, are you ready for the weekend?
I'm ready for the weekend. I just don't know who you calling a scallywag, man. I mean, we're some cool dudes, man. You know, we're here repping the silver and black, man. We ain't no scallywags.
That's right. I texted you earlier, too. I found that video that, you know, all these great artists are doing these quarantine videos, right, where they do it virtually. And I sent you some old school hip-hop stuff. That got me fired up, man.
Yeah, man, old school hip-hop is the way to go, and I know a lot of these new cats, these young guys, these new booties, like I like to call them, man, they sit here and tell me, man, you got to get with the times, Q, man, you got to check out these new heaters. Nah, man, it's all about that old school, that 90s hip-hop. That's what I put on when I'm mowing the lawn and doing chores around the house. That's my soundtrack. That's my lifestyle, man. So, yeah, 90s hip-hop, that's where it's at.
I love it, man. That's awesome. And I go back to the 80s, so I'm a little older than you. And I'm not old school. I'm just old. But no, nonetheless, I'm kidding myself. Hey, listen, we have our daily sided Raider Nation debate. I put this up the night before every show. I let it roll. Today, we're asking the question. Yesterday during the press conference, John Gruden said Malik Collins, the defensive tackle they signed away from the Dallas Cowboys, is the key to the defensive season for your silver and black. So I put that up there. I said, is that true? Do you agree with that or no? So go chime in of on Sided.co or on the Sided app. It's free on download on your Android or your iPhone. So go check it out. Get in. We got some great responses. We're going to give the numbers out later in the show, and I'll read a couple of the responses as well to that. Just a quick rundown of the show today, Q. Of course, yesterday we talked about John Gruden's press conference and some great nuggets. Not anything surprising, I don't think, but we'll get your thoughts on that as well, Q. And Q, your Q-tips got a little bit to do with something cool as well later on. Why don't you preview that for people?
Well, Jonathan Abram is a guy that a lot of Raider Nation is fired up about going into year two. They think he's going to be that alpha dog on the back end of the defense, and he very well might be. You know, we obviously don't know. He only played in one game in 2019, but he put something out on the Players Tribune that was awesome. It had nothing about dude with coming back from injury, had nothing to do with his year in Las Vegas. It had to do with his mama, and I thought it was amazing. So we're going to talk about that. It's called For Everybody Setting That 5 a.m. Alarm. And sometimes you just got to salute your mama. So that's what we're going to do for today's Q-tip.
Yeah, and it's, of course, a great piece about his mother, but at the same time, a great piece about the men and women who make this country go, and we'll talk about that a little later. So some cool guests, too, starting with one of the play-by-play voices of the Raiders, Beth Mowins, will be with us here this hour. In fact,
that's my homegirl.
we go
back like the Commodores, man.
Do you? Like a brick
house? Yeah, man, that's my homegirl.
Like a brick house?
Like a brick house.
That's right.
Just a certain kind of brick house that we won't speak about on the radio.
We'll talk to her about the 2020 Raiders, what she thinks of the roster moves Mike Mayock and John Gruden have used to build this team. Plus, we'll talk a little TV and how might the NFL look with many of the stadiums empty. Could that change the way we watch the game and the way it's presented? Really excited to have Beth as part of our Friday fracas here on the Silver and Black today. Second hour, we're going to help you find some kicks on this Friday. You get that, Q? Kicks?
No.
Raiders punter AJ Cole will be with us.
Well, the Jordans came out earlier today.
There was some Jordans kicks.
in Tokyo that came out today or something like that. I'm way past my prime when it comes to shoes. So that's what I thought you were talking about. I thought you had the hookup.
Well, yeah, some new kicks like you ain't never seen. Okay, that's a Van Halen line. So going different kind of
music. I like Van Halen.
There. I know. Of course you do. You know your stuff. And how different kicking indoors. How is it going to be for him, right? Kicking indoors 8 games a year. We'll also ask him about how he learned how to kick, what it's like to follow in the footsteps of Raider greats like Ray Guy and today's birthday boy, Shane Leckler, by the way. Happy birthday to Shane Leckler. And, of course, our good friend AFL Godfather on Twitter. Make sure we know every Raiders birthday. God bless him. Also, second hour, Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal will join us. And Q and I will talk to him about the latest on the all-but-complete Allegiant Stadium. What's left to do? And yes, there's not going to be fans in there in 2020, but that doesn't mean the hard-working men and women building the Raiders' new Death Star dun, 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 okay, won't finish the job. We'll also ask him about his story concerning the Raiders' loss of revenue due to no fans, so we'll talk about that. So again, Q, the Raider Nation train we're on with the silver and black does not stop.
Just like no, it doesn't.
Just like its host, man. It's not even the season yet.
No. There's nonstop, man. I mean, if we're not working, somebody else is. But can we talk about Malik Collins? Can we talk about that? Or are we saving that?
Well, we want to get to something first because, you know, we take subjects. We talked about the Derek Carr thing the other day, the press conference, right? We did that basically over 2 days, more so on the day it happened, a little bit yesterday because there was some residual. And callers still want to talk about it, right? But today, just when you think it goes away, we got to talk about this because our first ever guest on this show on Raider Nation Radio was a one Lincoln Kennedy, correct?
Correct.
And Lincoln Kennedy on CBS, this audio, by the way, courtesy of CBS Sports Radio, he had some more to say about Derek Carr on the Gelb show today. And here's what Lincoln had to say about Derek Carr.
Well, like I would say to him if he was here in my face and he said that, I would tell him right now, if you're tired of being disrespected, play better. Simple. You know, the thing is that there's no more excuses for Derek. Now it's either put up or shut up. He's got all the weapons in front of him. He's got an offensive line. He's got a run game. He's got a receiving corps. There's really nothing else that he needs to, that he should be, shouldn't be able to do with this offense. So now it's time to put up or shut up.
All right. Is there, Q, do you find any issues with what Lincoln Kennedy said?
No, I feel like that's pretty much what everybody's been saying. You know, I mean, and he's got the weapons. He's going into year three under John Gruden. I mean, everything that you've already talked about, we've already talked about, is kind of thrown out there. And no, I don't have any problem with what Lincoln Kennedy said because it's basically what it is. It is put up or shut up time. The only thing I'll say is what I said about it the other day when he said he's tired of being disrespected. It's not just him he's talking about. He's talking about the whole team.
No, I agree with that. And you know what? It was a great point. Still is a great point. And again, though, I think, and this includes John Gruden, by the way, he's not out of this equation when you talk about Derek Carr and Lincoln Kennedy saying, hey, go out and prove it and win some games. We talked to Michael Lombardi yesterday, and he basically said the same thing, not just blaming Carr, but in essence saying what Lincoln Kennedy said.
Well, you won 11 games the last 2 years. I mean, who's going to, you know, to get respect, you got to win. You got to win. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Coach Gruden's been hired to win. He's year three of his program. He's won 11 games in 2 years. They've got to find a way to win. Well, you could say, well, you know, they couldn't really score. You know, their defense was bad. Okay, yeah, I don't disagree with that. But last year they scored 27 points in the third quarter. They scored 88 in the fourth, you know, and they scored 113 in the second. So
there you go. Right? I mean, it's a team thing.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I'm glad he brought up that third quarter and 27 points because, to me, that is the biggest key. That's what I've kept going back to. You asked John Gruden about it yesterday in the press conference. You've got to find a way to come out of the locker room and scripted or non-scripted, whatever it is, you've got to find a way to put some points up on the board. And John Gruden said yesterday, well, they need more possessions. Okay, that's fine. You can get more possessions, but you have the ball. When you have the ball, you've got to take advantage of it and put some points on the board.
We'll talk about possessions later, by the way. And coming up next, again, is going to be our special guest, Beth Mowins. But first, we go out to Raider Nation because they need to be heard. And we start off our first caller here on Raider Nation Radio on the Silver and Black today on this Friday, Coach Durant. What's up, Coach?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, Raider Nation, to the fullest, the Silver and Black Pirate Ship. It's going to be solid this year. I want to give a shout-out to Carr, Ruggs, to Witten. I think our squad's going to be well this year. Potential top five offense. I'm looking for some solid plays, some good sweeps, wide receiver reverses, quarterback sneaks, maybe more by car possibly.
Coach Durant,
I think the Raiders are going to be strong.
Coach Durant, so you're thinking that this offense, that playbook's opening up is what you're saying.
Yeah. There's a variety of plays. It's going to be a good thing. I love the Raiders. Yeah, I was working at the stadium. It was fun. I miss it in Oakland, but I'm glad to have them in Vegas and a fresh new start. It's going to be a nice year. I have some good thoughts and very positive.
All right, Coach Durant, thanks for the call, man. Next, we go out to Dwayne. He is on the Raider Nation hotline here on Raider Nation Radio, Silver and Black today. What's up, man?
What's up, Dwayne?
Hey, Q, I was a new booty about a month ago when I called in.
I love it.
So I would say you guys talk a lot about Carr, but did you watch him when he was in the Pro Bowl and how he completed passes? He completed 50-yard touchdown passes to Indianapolis Colts receivers. Who in the world did he have for receivers that were healthy last year? You compare him to Gannon. Gannon had Tim Brown and Jerry Rice, all Hall of Fame receivers. The only time he had excellent receivers was in 2016 with Cooper and
Crabtree.
Yeah, Crabtree. I'm sorry. But then Cooper had to drop. So on third down, he would drop the ball all the time. In 2016, they did good. But then in 17, 18, 19, didn't have any receivers. So how in the world can he do good when he has nobody to throw the ball to? He has Waller, but besides Waller, who did he have?
Yeah, Dwayne, hey, man, thanks for your call. That was awesome. Listen, I agree with you. This year, though, I think that's what people are saying. If you listen to what people are saying, and I'm not talking about Derek talking about disrespect. I'm going to compartmentalize that for a second and talk more about the expectations. Because what I think Lincoln Kennedy was saying, in essence, and what Michael Lombardi said was, look, win games. That's how you earn respect. Now, I think you're at the juncture now. I think you're right. I don't think he had a lot of the tools that some other people had. At the same time, now he does. So I think the expectation levels for everybody, not just Derek Carr. Let me tell you something. Expectation levels for Josh Jacobs are higher. Expectation levels for that defense and Corey Littleton coming in here. All of them now have higher expectations coming here to Las Vegas. So I think that's what's fair there. And that's exactly what people should be thinking about.
They should, and again, everyone says, well, he didn't have any weapons, everybody was injured, and you're not wrong, but at the same time, you go to battle with what you got, and you got to make the best of it, and the Raiders tried to and did some good things, and they did really well in between the 20s, but then they didn't do anything in the red zone, and so, I mean, we can make an excuse for everything. Ultimately, you're playing in a win-loss league.
That's
right. If you win, you're great. If you lose, you stink.
Doesn't matter. That's right. Okay, so listen, we're really looking forward to this, as I haven't spoken to our next guest since 1996, and I know she's sitting there going, what are you talking about?
Whoa.
Now, I'll preface this by saying the guest has no idea who I am. But
okay.
Back when I worked at UNLV, you ready for this, Beth? When I was I traveled with the Lady Rebels softball team to the Women's College World Series that year in Oklahoma City to broadcast the play-by-play back to Vegas. And I met you, of course, listened to you doing your play-by-play. It was always a great experience and still is listening to you. And, of course, we're bringing on now Raiders play-by-play announcer and all-around great broadcaster, Beth Moen. Beth, it's been a long time, but welcome to Raider Nation Radio.
Oh, it's good to be back, Scott. I wish it was under better circumstances. And I was talking to you from training camp in Napa, and we were getting ready for some preseason. But we're all doing what we got to do and making the adjustments we got to make, and certainly hopeful that the regular season is going to be ready to go without a hitch.
Yeah, absolutely, Beth. I mean, we're all disappointed about the way this pandemic has impacted life, and then, of course, sports is part of life. And for you, there won't be any Raiders preseason games, of course, but this has had a wider impact, I think, on all of us who work in sports. How have you kept busy, and just how much are you going to miss doing those Raider games?
Well, I will tell you this, Scott. I would much rather have a glass of nice Napa Cabernet in my hand and preparing for for tomorrow's practice, then spreading mulch around the backyard. We're fixing up a house to be sold, so I'm doing some manual labor instead of working the vocal cords. So you try and figure out things to do and ways to pass the time and be as productive as you can. And it's been great to at least be able to, you know, watch some NBA and watch some WNBA, check out the Aces, and certainly with the golf back this weekend, it's been pretty cool.
Well, Scott, unlike you, I try to talk with Beth and keep in touch with her at least a couple times a year. So welcome you to the show, Beth. It's great to hear from you. What are your thoughts on Mark Davis as the owner of the Raiders? What he's been able to do since 2011 when he ultimately took over for Al, going from Oakland to now having what he has in Las Vegas?
I think what's been remarkable is, in that game of musical chairs that was going on a few years ago, guys, and it looked like Mark was the one that missed out on that last chair and the move to Los Angeles. And now all of a sudden, fast forward to today a stadium that's second to none, a fan base that cannot wait to kick off the season in Vegas, Raider Nation continuing to follow from, all over the Southwest and all over the country. I'm excited when we can get fans back in there, to see the flow from the airport, out onto the strip and out over to Allegiant. It's going to be fantastic to see. And the job that Mark has done to figure out a way to find the Raiders this gorgeous new home and to, start to put together a team that, I heard you guys talking a moment ago. I mean, the expectations are high to have Coach Gruden back, and it's year three, and Carr has some, stability in the system, and he's got all these weapons, and certainly Gruden and Mayock made all the moves in the offseason to get the defense up to snuff. So, to be where they are right now and to have big expectations and to have everything shiny and brand new in Vegas is a real tribute to him and Mark Bedain and everybody, in the Raiders administration.
Beth, we're talking to Beth Mowins. Of course, she does play-by-play for the Raiders and also everywhere. I mean, basketball, other football, it's great. Always love hearing your voice, Beth. When you look at the Raiders and what they're coming into here in Las Vegas, we hear it here in Las Vegas. Of course, we hear about the folks, of course, who were disappointed to lose the team from the Bay Area. What's kind of the scuttlebutt? I mean, especially pre-COVID, what's the scuttlebutt about Vegas as a new NFL market amongst you, your colleagues, and what you're hearing around the country?
I think you can judge first and foremost by the schedule and the fact that they've got the most nationally televised games, I think, that they've ever had. And we were hoping before all this happened that the networks weren't going to come in and steal away all our preseason games. It's a destination. And it's one of those places, I think, where fans from everywhere are going to want to go to, and Raider fans from all over the country, all over the world. What better way to spend the weekend? You come in, a night early, you have a good time on the town, you enjoy the Raiders game on Sunday, you can be back to work if you need to be, first thing Monday morning. It's everybody is thrilled about the market and about an opportunity to go and enjoy all the things that Las Vegas provides, but then also to be able to go watch the NFL and for it to be the Raiders, one of the marquee names in the NFL just adds to it.
Talking right now with Beth Mowins on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920. And Derek Carr is the conversation that never ends. He's the argument that never ends. From what you've seen from Derek Carr, you've seen his maturation year to year. What does he need to do to take the next step to kind of quiet the outside noise?
Well, I think it goes back to what you guys were talking about just a moment ago and what he showed us he could do in the playoffs season a few years back, and that's win the close games, win the fourth quarter, be able to win on the road. That has been a huge problem, right, the last couple of years. So in those environments and even without fans, in all likelihood in a lot of places on the road or at least a smaller number of fans, to be able to manage the adversity. And I think he sounds like he is absolutely raring to go and wants to show everybody what he's capable of. The weapons are certainly there. You know, the expectation has got to be for a top five offense. You know, if you're going to try and compete with the Chiefs to win the division, you've got to be able to do that sort of stuff. So I would imagine Derek's awfully excited to be in the position that he's in with one of the best offensive lines in the league in front of him, and now all these new weapons around him. I can't wait to see, you know, what Gruden and Greg Olsen in that offense are capable of.
Beth, when we think about the NFL in many cities this year without fans in the stands, of course, television becomes everything, right? TV drives the NFL as we know anyway. And as I watch, and I know you said you watch WNBA games, NHL, Major League Baseball games without fans, what do you think about what the NFL might do? The NFL, people always forget, it's a massive entertainment company, not just the football, but it's an entertainment business. Do you think the NFL might pull some new stops out to make this TV presentation even more sort of, I think, engaging for fans as we move forward?
I would absolutely think that that will be the case. You know, they have an opportunity to sort of watch what the NBA has done, what the NHL has done, what soccer, you know, Premier League soccer has been going on for, you know, much of the summer. So they've got some of the best creative minds in the biz. I'm anxious to see what it's going to look like and what it's going to sound like and all the different things that they'll be capable of doing without fans in the stadiums to make it a unique viewing experience. And certainly without fans, you can put cameras almost anywhere and microphones almost anywhere. You don't have to worry about blocking anybody's view or anything like that. So it's a matter of just how creative you know, the TV folks can get, and I'm excited to see. I'm hoping that we'll be able to at least be on site as announced teams. But honestly, we haven't heard a whole lot of you know, the decisions that they've made regarding all that yet. But it's got to be coming pretty soon. If you know, colleges, some of the conferences are going to start the first couple of weeks in September, and then certainly the NFL right after that.
How do you think a radio broadcast is going to sound without natural crowd noise?
Well, that's the other thing. Is radio going to pump in sound just like they are for some of the other events and some of the other games? Quite honestly, I've been watching Premier League all summer, and granted, it's a little bit different, but I thought the noise that they were pumping in, the crowd noise they were pumping in, made it sound just like you were there at the game. So I don't know what radio is going to do in that regard. It would certainly be very easy for them to put some NAT sound underneath the call if they wanted to.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm watching baseball too, Beth, and they've used the crowd noise from a video game inside the stadium, which then the radio broadcasts and TV broadcasts are picking up. But I know too, I mean, going back to my college days when we had to, because we had no budget, we sometimes had to call games on the student radio by watching it on television. And it's funny how we're back at that. And I hear someone like you, a true pro who's done it for so long and so well, you adjust, right? I mean, you're still calling the action. Yeah, you don't get the atmosphere, but you know the games. It's all about the preparation anyway, and that won't change, right?
Yeah, no, that won't change at all. What will be interesting to see and to hear is, will they have to put some sort of noise underneath it? Because where will they have microphones that they might be able to pick up conversations and some salty language from down on the field from time to time that they may have to cover up? Unless it's HBO's Hard Knocks. So that's going to be interesting to see how they sort of put all of that together. But from a preparation standpoint, not different at all, other than the fact that instead of having meetings face-to-face, you'd probably be dealing a lot more with, you know, the Zoom calls, I think, are here to stay in terms of interacting with coaches and players and getting your research done that way.
Beth, I know we're here talking Raiders, but I had to get your thoughts on what they did in Washington, hiring Julie Donaldson to be part of the radio broadcast. She's also senior president of media. What were your thoughts when you saw that hire from Washington?
Oh, that was terrific. I was really happy for her, and that's a great opportunity to, you know, create some change. And one of the things, guys, that, you know, it's a fine line to walk. Do you, you know, hammer away at an organization from the outside and try and create pressure to change from the outside, or do you get inside that organization and try and create change from within? And coming from a team background myself and growing up playing sports, I think it's a great opportunity for Julie to sort of change, you know, that locker room, change everything from within, if you will, that team experience, and, you know, create a new way of looking at things for that entire organization. So hopefully that's what will come about from that, and for her to be able to get that opportunity. You know, it's still, in most cases, as you know, guys, it's a lot of older men that are still the decision makers in sports, and all that, you know, anybody can hope for is a level playing field, just an opportunity to have my name mentioned in the room when they're making, you know, key personnel decisions, and to have a shot at it. So I'm glad that, you know, she put herself in the position to be considered for that job and got it.
Well, Beth, before we let you go, just to finish on that one too, because I think that, you know, hopefully there's a day when we don't even have this conversation, because we're seeing more women, not only in broadcasting, but also we're seeing women coach men's sports. We see a woman coach now with the San Francisco Giants in Major League Baseball. How much progress have you seen? I mean, of course, we need to get there get further along, but how much progress since you started your career have you seen?
Well, you know, when I was first starting out, I was usually the only girl in the room. And so to see, you know, women at every position now in the TV industry, there's obviously still, you know, more work to be done in terms of producers and directors and decision makers and things like that. But we're moving in the right direction. Just to be able to see, you know, women in coaching roles, you know, the whole argument that you had to have played the game or that you had to have been a star at it, you know, a lot of, in fact, most of the great coaches were not necessarily great players and didn't necessarily have these momentous collegiate careers. So the ability to learn the game and to teach the game, that's not a skill that's unique to a particular gender. And so I'm thrilled to see it, and I hope you're right, guys. You know, the day is coming where it won't be such a big deal, and, you know, you won't have to have those conversations. You'll just be able to be considered for the job regardless, and it's still about proving that you're capable of doing it, and that's all that we can hope for and ask for.
That's right. Beth Mowins has been our guest here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. Beth, thank you so much, first of all, for all the work you've done. And again, listening to you all over these years and respecting the craft, respecting the preparation involved with that, and respecting you for how you carry yourself. So thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you. I hope it's only 25 days, Scott, and not 25 years for our conversation.
Tell him, Beth.
But Beth, remember that year UNLV finished third, Shan McDonald, Amy Stewart, the All-American pitcher, and that's the year that UCLA had to give up their title because of some issues. So I always say we really finished second.
Well, the team that knocked you out was number one Arizona, so
yes.
And they really were worthy of the championship that year. So, yeah, you probably could consider yourself number two that season.
Well, Beth, thank you again. It's been a long time, but it won't be between the times you come here on the show. We appreciate it today.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Beth Mowins, play-by-play for the Raiders, of course, in the preseason. A great, great broadcaster. All right, Q, we're going to take a break, man. You ready to get a breather?
No, never. Let's just keep it going. No, I'm kidding.
We're going to pay some bills when we come back. We'll carry on with the Raider Nation talk here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back. Silver and Black today on this bright and warm Friday in Las Vegas. By the way, Las Vegas, Q, you know what that is?
Yeah, I do.
Tell me.
I mean, no, I know where Las Vegas is, and I know what Las Vegas is. I'm sure it's hot.
It's the capital of Raider Nation. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you were going to hit me with a zinger that I didn't know.
Like that it means the meadows in Spanish or something like that?
I thought you were going to give me some new word or something that I was going to learn.
That's what I do. I teach. No, just kidding. Listen, Q, I got swabbed today.
That's what I heard. How did that go?
You know, it was easy. It was funny, too, because as JT the Brick was going off the air here, he's got to go down there, I think, next week to do it to the Raiders facility. And so he was asking me, you know, how deep do they have to go? Because, you know, you've seen these tests, right? When this whole thing first started, you had to go back in the throat, and it's like they're, you know, basically almost tearing your eyeball out, all this kind of stuff. It was easy, man. It was like taking a Q-tip, really, excuse me, Q, and and putting it just like around, swabbing like just inside your nose. And by the way, I have to say this, just a shout out to all the people working out there at the Raider facility doing this every day for every person that goes in and out of there, because we have to go in and get two tests, negative tests within 72 hours, like the players. And then anytime we go there, we have access, we have to get swabbed there too. And they have some sort of instant swab, or they do it proactively, whatever. But let me tell you, they have that thing dialed in, and just amazing people. And it just goes to show you the Raiders. They you pull in the parking lot, you go into the trailer, you get tested, and you either go back out of the parking lot, or if you've already passed and you've got your certification, then you can go do whatever you got. But I did sneak a little peek of some guys working out on the field. So that was good. Yeah, it was good to see.
Tell
some football.
Us what happened.
Nothing. I mean, it wasn't anything that you talk about. They were just doing drills and walkthroughs.
Well, just make something up.
It looked like everyone was very respectful of Derek Carr.
Okay.
No, really. He had leadership, man.
I saw a video of a Derek Carr pass to Henry Ruggs, and it looked like he jumped out the gym to go get it, so that's something.
I saw that, man. It was like a superhero shot, right?
That's how I jump.
With his Me too. Anyway.
No, I mean, seriously, that's how I jump.
That's how you jump? You just jump straight up? I
jump out the gym, man.
Like you're doing a
I live above the
shot?
Rim.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what
okay,
I did.
Good. I love it. That's good. So then when we get the Silver and Black Today basketball team together.
I'm your guy.
You're my guy. Yep. I'll be on the sideline coaching.
There you go. Look, I play above the rim, and I steal bases in baseball. That's my two go-tos.
That's what's wrong with baseball, man. There's no speed anymore. I mean, there's guys.
There's no Ricky Hendersons.
No, that's Ricky Hendersons. No Willie McGee's, right?
No, it's not so Ricky.
Well, come on. Of course
there's
he was
nobody
the best.
Else better.
No, of course not. But you
it's
go
like
back.
Tony Gwynn batting. It stops with Tony Gwynn.
Okay, see, now we agree. All right.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna talk about something you wanted to talk about earlier, because we had to kind of shift it. We had some callers and all that. By the way, do you want to call? Do you want to talk to Q? You want to talk to Scott? You want to talk to everybody else out in Raider Nation? Call the listener hotline, 702-365-9200. Just come with a point. Don't be shy. We got some Vegas calls yesterday, which was good. But Raider Nation's worldwide, give us a call, 702-365-9200. Okay, Q, Malik Collins, we wanted to talk about this, right? We have our Sided debate up right now, Sided.co or a Sided app on your phone. We asked if John Gruden was right. Is Malik Collins, Q, the key to their season?
You know, it's funny because I'm very high on Malik Collins. I'm very excited about him being added to the Raiders' defensive line, and I think Rob Marinelli is going to do some good things with him. I think that he's going to be a key, but I also think that the defensive tackle position in general is going to be the key to the Raiders' defense, and that's because you've got to get pressure up the gut. Mike Mayock said this even last season. He said, you know, when he was not even a GM, he asked a lot of quarterbacks, where do you get most uncomfortable in the pocket? And they said, when we step up and there's nowhere to step up to. When the pressure's coming up the middle, when the pressure's coming from the outsides, yeah, you could step up and you could still make a good throw down the field. And Patrick Mahomes does it all the time. You've got to be able to create pressure from up the gut. So guys like Malik Collins, Jonathan Hankins, Mo Hurst, PJ Hall, but he's not there anymore, obviously. But those guys are going to have to get that pressure up the gut. And I will say, Daniel Ross, John Gruden mentioned him as well. He's a guy who couldn't figure it out in Dallas, but he followed Rod Marinelli over to the Raiders, and I think that he has a shot to make the roster as well.
I do too, but I you know, with Collins, again, we talked about it yesterday with Lombardi. You and I have talked about it a bunch of times here, Q, in our inaugural week here at Raider Nation Radio, and that is you got to have that push up front, right? And look, Malik Collins isn't the only guy up front. You have Maurice Hurst. You have Jonathan Hankins. You have guys. You're going to have to get that push. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. You know, I've heard a lot of the other hosts here on the station talking about expectations for the Raiders being high, and I've heard a lot of them say 8 or 9 wins, and, you know, that's fair. I think, Q, you said 9 is a minimum. I agree with 9 as a minimum. But I'm thinking, you know, the way that offense can click, coupled with a better defense. Again, this defense is not finished. This defense is not going to go from 29th, 30th in the league to second, okay? But right. if they can go to 17 or 18 in that range, and that offense can do what we think it can, being a top five offense all the way around, let's say, if you believe that, then yes, 9-10 games should be a given in my view. You had seven last year, right? You had seven last year and two games you should have won or you could have won, right?
Exactly.
So to me, 9-10 has got to be the ground floor.
It's got to be. It shows that they're making progress, too. That's the biggest deal. You go from 4 wins to 7 wins. Natural progress is 9 wins. So they have to go get it done on the field. There's a lot of questions on defense. Can Trayvon Mullen take that next step? Can someone develop and be that number two defensive back across from Trayvon Mullen? How does the back end work? That's a question that I have as well. You know, I mean, Demarius Randall's going to be there to start it off with Jonathan Abram, but how does Jonathan Abram step up? He played one game in 2019. Is he the guy that everyone expects him to be, or is he just the guy? We have no idea.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Listen, to all the callers on the line, it's jammed up, so we're going to try to get to everybody. Hopefully, we'll get most of you guys in. We'll get one here before the break. He's been holding for a little while now. Elliot, here in Las Vegas, Raider fan in Las Vegas. Elliot, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, buddy.
Chilling.
Good. Glad to have you guys on here. I was just wanted to comment on your talk about defensive tackles. I mean, we really haven't had a good defensive tackle since Ryder Coleman to get that good push up the middle. It is going to also help, and I think Malik Collins can be that guy. I just think he's got that talent that is hard to come by for a defensive tackle. And I also wanted to just comment, I think the linebackers finally we got with Littleton and with Kwiatkowski, I think that's going to be a huge plus for that defense also.
Yeah, it really will be. It will be a good call. Thank you so much for that, Elliot. And, yeah, Malik Collins got to get that push up the gut, and he's been a guy when he was in Dallas. He's been banged up a little bit, but you can see that he's got it, and he's going in there on a one-year deal. Players always play. Go back through history and look. They always play better on a contract year, so he's going to go out there and try to ball out so he can make that big-time money next season. I think he has an opportunity to be that guy, get that pressure up the gut. John Gruden's clearly high on him already. That comes from Rob Marinelli. And then when you look at the linebackers, like you mentioned, Kwiatkowski and Corey Littleton are a huge upgrade over what they've had in the past. Guys that could drop into coverage, guys that can get after the quarterback, guys that command what they're doing sideline to sideline on defense. That's a huge upgrade.
Absolutely. All right. Well, it's time. We work in commercial radio, and that means we have commercials. So we're going to go off and pay some bills. When we come back, it is time for your daily ear wash. We're going to clean your ears out with the Q-tip here on the Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
All right, a little Nirvana action on a Friday. You ready for Friday? I'm ready for Friday, Q, man.
What song was that?
That was
Smell Like Teen Spirit.
As you are. Oh, I can't sing. I don't want to. I'm going to shed listeners if I sing. Come as you are. Yes.
Okay. I don't know.
That's okay.
My neighbors used to play a bunch of music that I thought was their originals.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was always someone else's song, like Queen. They used to play Queen and Guns N' Roses. And I was like, man, this group is really good. Come to find out it wasn't their music. It was someone else's.
They were playing covers. That's
yeah, my bad.
That's okay, man. It happens to us all. All right, we're back here on the Silver and Black today on this Friday in Raider Nation on the first week. As the first week of Raider Nation Radio comes to an end, the dawn of a new era. But I'll tell you, this time of the day, I just get hungry, man. And we are going to talk to you now about our friends at Dr. Jen's. I got the bar. Listen, Q, I don't know if you can hear that over the air. The bar.
I can.
You can hear that. See? I have my mint chocolate brownie bar, dude. And I'm ready to next break, I'm going to munch this. Chris Chapman, our engineer, producer here, was him and I were talking during the break about nutrition and keeping fit and all that kind of stuff. You guys got to try these. These are amazing. And this isn't just a paid commercial, right? This is me. This is what I eat. I have the boxes at home. And my kids, check this out.
I go last night. So I got three boys between the ages of 8 and 12, right? Out of my five kids, those are the three boys, the youngest. And my 10-year-old is just, his mind's always working. So he goes to bed last night, and he's like, I'm hungry. I said, listen, you missed your opportunity, bud. It's late for you. It's 9 o'clock. You got to go to bed.
Kitchen's
right?
closed.
Kitchen's closed. Exactly. So I go up there and checking on them as I'm going up to my room to see my wife. And suddenly, I hear this noise. I'm like, what is that? It sounds like this. Right? I go in there, and I'm like, the other two boys are asleep. And I'm like, Mark, what are you doing? Nothing, right? It's like he jostles around in his bed, and I go, no.
Sound like a mouse.
Yeah, exactly. Give a mouse a cookie, man. So I go in there, and I'm like, no. And they're in a bunk bed because the three boys have a big, big room, and so they all are three in the same room. So I go up in his bunk. I'm like, what are you doing? So I toss the pillow aside. There it is, the Dr. Jens bar.
Which one was it?
It was the banana again.
Okay.
I don't know. Our house
Hey,
is,
man. It was they are fun. Really, really good. My favorite one is the mocha chocolate crisp.
Yes.
I like that one the most. But the creamy blueberry vanilla is amazing. And I wasn't sure what I was going to feel when I ate that one. I was like, I don't know, man. You know, it's got a purple wrapper on it. I don't know if I'm going to turn into Barney or something, you know. But I tried it, and it was awesome. Creamy blueberry vanilla, mocha chocolate crisp. Whatever you want, peanut butter chocolate chip, that's like a Reese bar. I love it. It's good.
It is good, and I'll tell you what, not only that, go buy them online. You get a discount because you listen to our show. Isn't that great? I mean, we're bringing the goodness to everybody. These things are good for you. They taste delicious. That's the most important thing for you. I mean, yes, they're good for you and all that stuff, but if they didn't taste good, it wouldn't matter. They are the best thing I've ever had when it comes to protein bars. Check it out, drjensnutrition.com. Use the code SB10. Excuse me. Oh, my gosh. Rewind. SBT10. SBT10, and you get a discount. They also have free shipping. Dr. Jen's Nutrition Bars, can't speak highly enough of them. Now, as we cleaned out your colon, now we're going to clean out your ears with the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
And today's Q-tip comes from the Players Tribune, and it comes courtesy of Raiders safety, second-year safety, Jonathan Abram. And what he did really impressed me, man. He put out this piece on the Tribune, Players Tribune, and you can find it on the playerstribune.com. And it's entitled, For Everybody Setting That 5 a.m. Alarm. And basically, he's talking about the way he grew up and what his mother was able to do for him and the fact that she got up every single morning at 5 a.m. and went to the burger joint. And he even says she's probably there right now, still putting in work, which tells you a lot about her, even though her son's playing in the NFL right now. So just kind of use that as a side note. But she would get up and go to work and make sure that she had everything she needed and he had everything he needed, as well as his brother, to make it, you know. And he says, hey, we grew up on burgers and fries because that's what my mom was able to bring home for us. And, you know, she was very strict, and she also made it where when she wasn't home, they still knew that, hey, mama's watching from somewhere, so we've got to be on our A game. So they still had to kind of take care of themselves. But he really showed a lot of respect to a lot of people that get overlooked. And that's the ones that are behind the scenes doing a lot of things, you know, building stadiums, ones that are preparing food, you know, doing the little stuff that sometimes people may look at and be like, oh, whatever, it's just somebody who flips burgers. But how important that is, and how important that is for even what you get on the daily. Maybe you go out somewhere at lunch and you get a burger. Somebody was there at 5 a.m. in the morning making sure the lettuce was there, making sure the meat was right, making sure everything was prepared so when you come in, you're good to go. And so I thought it was really cool that he showed that love to his mom. And sometimes we need to take a second and reflect and show our mom some love more than just on Mother's Day. Because I know my mom, for example, did everything in her world and bent over backwards multiple times to make sure that I was prepared and I was set up for success, regardless what it meant she had to do and sacrifice. And that's what Jonathan Abram was saying in this piece.
Well said, my partner. And I'll tell you what, that's the thing I get out of this too. And Q, you and I are both fathers,
And we know, you know, that in life, when you have kids, you sacrifice, right? And to read what his mother did for him and how much he appreciates it. To your point, you know, I was in the Raiders parking lot today. I saw the cars. But you know what? Jonathan Abram says, listen, yeah, okay, we're doing well for ourselves and all that. But you know what? Those people. And he focused on this, too. During this pandemic, you roll up to the McDonald's or the Wendy's or whatever you're wherever you're going, the fast food restaurant, there's people in there working to serve you. Okay?
Right.
It doesn't matter where they come from, what they're doing. You have to appreciate the role that everybody plays in our society and what they do through hard work. And, of course, his story with his mom and the sacrifices there. But secondary to that, he really underscores in the piece that, listen, these people deserve your respect.
Yes.
And that is important because, you know, you might roll by the, you know, the guy who comes by in the morning and picks up your trash, the guy who's cleaning out your kid's school, the woman who's there to clean up at your workplace, whatever it is. Those people are what make the country go. And during all of this, those people kept going.
Right. Exactly right. And the thing about it, man, it's, you know, it's so crazy. But as you get older, you start to realize that. And clearly, Jonathan Abram has figured this out by what he wrote in this piece. But I tell you, Scott, every single time I go to a restaurant, anytime I go to any store and I have any kind of interaction with anybody before I walk away, and really not even, I don't even care really what kind of service I received. It's always thank you. And I appreciate you because they're doing something that most people probably don't want to do. And so at the very end of the day, they might not be in a good mood. I still say I appreciate you because sometimes that goes a long way.
And you know what, Q? You never know. And this is the same thing. And I challenge myself this sometimes because, you know, you have a bad day, you get angry or you have some feelings or whatever. Challenge yourself to treat someone like that on a daily basis. Just someone you come into contact. You might just be doing a transaction. You might just be passing them in a hallway. Who knows? You don't know what they're going through. Giving them that little bit to say, hey, because you mean it. Hey, listen, I appreciate what you're doing. It doesn't matter what they're doing. That could change their day, could change their week, it could change their month or their life. So always consider that. And the thing that I love that Jonathan Abram said in this, as we come up here on a break in a second, but the thing I love that he said in this, and it shows that he's a smart young guy. He says, these people deserved your respect, America, not your sympathy. Right. He's not asking you to sympathize with them on anything. He's saying your respect, and it's different. And Jonathan Abram, cheers to you, man, because you nailed this one.
Exactly right. I thought that was awesome. Again, it's not very hard to say thank you and appreciate you, and that goes a long way, like you said.
It does. Absolutely. All right. Top of the hour. If you're on the phones, hang on. We got a lot of folks that are going to try to get to you. 702-365-9200. We can maybe fit a couple more, but we're off. Second hour coming up next. AJ Cole, punter for the Raiders, and Mick Akers from the RJ. You're listening to Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Scott Culbranson, your boy Q Myers with us today, of course, as he is every day. We thank you guys for being here. And Q, listen, man, so I got my COVID test today down at the Raider facility. And of course, yesterday we had the opt-out deadline, right?
Yep.
So you look at some of the names here just to, I mean, of course, not a ton of big, what you would consider big stars, you know, not guys that are, you're like, whoa, you know, Patrick Mahomes, nothing like that. But you did have some names on there that were a bit surprising, especially when you look at the voluntary opt-outs. And again, let me just say this. I'm not faulting a guy at all.
Mm-mm.
I'm just saying that the voluntary opt-outs versus the higher risk opt-outs, they carry different associations with them. Meaning if you're a voluntary opt-out, right, that means your contract for the year will be basically just rolled over to next year. So you don't lose anything. However, you don't get an accrued season for your retirement. The player will be eligible for a stipend of $150,000 to be treated as a salary advance, okay? So if you were a voluntary opt-out, they're going to give you $150,000, but you basically have to pay it back because you're not pay it back, but it's just early pay.
Right.
And you're eligible also, again, If you're an undrafted free agent, however, you're not eligible for the stipend, which we've talked about before. Now, Q, if you're a higher risked person here and you opt out because you have some kind of health issue, then $350,000 is a stipend set for you again, and you have some other things, and you actually do accrue time and all that kind of stuff for retirement for the NFL pension. And when you look at this, by the way, we know the Raiders players who were opted out, of course, Jay Killings, Jeremiah Valoga, and Oligwe, right? So those guys, I can't remember. Yes, okay. But you look at these, Q, and one of the things that strikes me is that a majority of them, not all of them, but a majority of them are linemen.
Yeah, and I mean, that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? And especially their lower level linemen as well. So one, they're probably trying to see if they're going to even make the roster. So it's kind of better to go ahead and get that guaranteed money. But those linemen are all bunched in close together. I mean, yes, they're going to be the ones that are going to be really banging every single play, which, I mean, football's, everyone's going to be banging anyway, but the linemen are going to be right on top of each other all the time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But that's it. And I'll tell you, you know, taking the test there again today, no big deal. And you can see that that facility here in Henderson is on lockdown, and they are making sure that if you get anywhere near anyone there, that you're getting tested. So that's a good sign, and we hope that that stays that way. We hope that the rest of the NFL is doing that, and the players are doing their best to stay out of trouble's way and make sure that they don't contract it so they can stay on the field most of all. Now, when we look at roster news, a guy you know, Bryce Hager from Baylor, now, of course, looks like the Raiders are going to sign. We saw reports yesterday the Raiders are going to bring him in. Tell us what you know about him.
Yeah, the official release has come out. They have signed linebacker Bryce Hager. He was on the Rams. He was a seventh-round draft pick back in 2015. And look, he's a guy who played linebacker, but he played linebacker in the Big 12. Okay, so just kind of put an asterisk next to that. He was on the Baylor team when Art Briles was there, and they were playing really, really well, and they were high-flying, but they were high-flying offense. I mean, the guy will give you all the effort in the world, and for a seventh-round draft pick to stick around the league and still be in the league, that's very successful for him. He's going to be a special teams guy. He'll be a guy that will compete on the special teams side of the ball. He'll give you everything he's got. And if he needs to get onto the field for some reason as a linebacker, he'll be there as a depth piece. But he's not, you know, he's not some guy that you think, oh, man, this is the best linebacker in the league. I mean, he is what he is, but you know what you're going to get from him. He's been in 69 games, and he's made 5 starts over his career. He's got 31 tackles, 18 solo, sack, 3 passes defense, 1 forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. I mean, and he was in the Super Bowl with the Rams not too long ago.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Vinny Bonsignore, of course, whose show In the Huddle comes up next here on Raider Nation Radio to close out your week as part of our nation on Raider Nation Radio. And I'm looking now, Q, we've had a switch here with our sided debate. Of course, every day we do a Raider Nation debate. On sided.co. Yeah, it's like there's no hanging chads or election fraud happening here. There's just the no's and the yeses keep oscillating. They keep going back and forth. So we might have to watch
this. Okay, good.
We might have to watch this until the next half hour. But we asked, is Coach Gruden right? Is Malik Collins the key to the team's defense this year? It's now yes 52, no 47. Let me read a couple of these. I have a no here. Glenn Heinrich says, my money's on salt and pepper, Crosby and Farrell, to be the keys on defense. Max wants to prove that last season wasn't a fluke, and with Klee added muscle he put on, he's going to play with a chip on his shoulder just like Carr.
You know what, though? The thing about Klee, and this also comes from John Gruden's press conference yesterday, he left it be open.
Yeah.
So he can play inside and outside. He didn't say he was going to keep him in his natural position, which is on the edge. He said that he's bulked up a little bit, and he's going to be versatile, and he could do both. So don't expect Klee to have super high numbers, because my gut feeling tells me you're going to see him in the inside a lot as well in certain situations. So he's going to be a very versatile guy, which is what Paul Gunther likes on defense.
Then we have Matt, who is a Mo Hurst fan, says, Mo Hurst needs more recognition. Collins was an excellent pickup, but Hurst continues to improve. PFF improved him 70% over 1 year. His pressures are increased from 11 to 38. Hurst should have a big year 3. The combo of Hurst and Collins in the middle should provide a big boost in pressures up the middle.
It should. And Mo Hurst is a guy I like, but I think that he needs to step up as well. I think he has a lot to still prove. This is a guy that dropped to the fifth because of what was going on during the draft. He had the heart condition, and all of a sudden a lot of teams were kind of like, hey, we're going to stay away from him. The Raiders got him in the fifth and considered him a steal. This is his third year in the league. He's going to want to make a big-time impression so he can get that money that he missed out on not being a first or second-round draft pick when he was drafted. So he's going to have to step up and play a lot better and play a lot more consistent. I like him. I think he's a good player. He's just inconsistent, and that's what Rob Marinelli is there for. He's going to help him get that inconsistency and get it out.
And that's the secret ingredient, Coach Marinelli. I really believe that, and I think Mo Hurst, you're right. He's at that point. You know, we saw what happened with P.J. Hall. There was questions about him being drafted too high and all that stuff. He goes by. With Mo Hurst, it was always, no, you got to steal the draft with this guy, right? Yep. That was the talk at the time because he fell because of the health issue. And he's got to go out and do it. And I'll tell you, though, if they both play like they can, then you're going to have a nice push up front. That's going to do a lot for that Raider defense, Q. And when you look at the rest of that defensive interior, who else there you think is going to make a step up and maybe come out of their shell and have a good year?
Well, you know, I don't think they're coming out of their shell. I think Jonathan Hankins is going to be a consistent. I mean, he's been a pro's pro. There's a reason why the Raiders re-signed him as soon as they did. I think he's been really good, and really nobody's talking about him, but I think it's just because you expect him to be that guy, you know? So I don't think he has to step up and play better. I think he just has to keep doing what he's been doing, and I do think he will.
No, I do too, and that's what they got to do, especially, you know, we've been talking about it here all week. With the Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes, which you have going, even the young quarterbacks in the division like Drew Lock, you have got to be able to put the pressure there up the middle and force them out of the pocket. Now, Mahomes can hurt you everywhere, right? But you're going to give yourself a better chance to be able to do that. I just think, you know, again, I just think the defense, as important as it is, this is really a balancing act. You're going to have that defense vastly improve, but you're also going to have the offense score more points. I mentioned that earlier. You talked about the offense and possessions, right?
Right.
You look at possessions, and this is Mike Pritchett on our morning show, Pritchett Clay, of course, former first-round draft pick, played in the NFL for 10 years. He pointed this out.
He was all right.
The Buff, see you, just like Cliff Branch. But listen, Coach Gruden mentioned yesterday, we need more play. We need more possessions. Do they, though? They had 989 plays in 2019, right? And you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they ran fewer plays.
Right. They just scored more touchdowns.
They scored more touchdowns. The Chiefs ran fewer plays, too, in the game they played against the Raiders, So, again, you always want more possessions. But just like you could say, hey, I need more money to do something. Yeah, you need the more money you have, great. But if you're smart with your money and you make it pay off, then the investment returns on you double full, right? And I think this is the case. I don't necessarily think possessions are the issue, because if you get all those possessions and you can't score 6 points, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. And the thing about it is the Chiefs had less possessions or less snaps because they score from so far away. Yeah. As Raider fans know very well, in that first game in Oakland, I mean, it was like 4th and 20-something, and they go for 40-something yards at a touchdown. I mean, they have the power to score from anywhere on the field at any time, where the Raiders, they want to drive the ball down the field. So they want more snaps. They want more possessions so they can be more methodical with the ball.
They do. Absolutely. Good point. All right, we're going to step aside for a break. When we come back, we're going to boot one. That's right. Raiders punter A.J. Cole will be our guest here on the Silver and Black Today with Q and Scott. This is Raider Nation Radio.